let us summarize what we came to the conclusion and move forward. So, Reuven is asked to take Shimon's suitcase to Brazil. Okay, don't worry. Shimon asks Reuven to take his suitcase to Brazil. Reuven obviously has insurance on all the luggage that he takes with him. That's part of the ticket. Now, the suitcase doesn't belong to Reuven, but he's got insurance on it. Then it gets lost, and the insurance pay out compensation for that suitcase. We asked last week, where does the insurance go to? Does it go to the owner of the suitcase, Shimon, who's still inheritors? Or does it go to Reuven, who bought the ticket and therefore also paid for the insurance, who's now in Brazil? We came to the conclusion that the insurance, in fact, goes to Shimon, the owner of the suitcase. Even although the one who paid for the insurance was Reuven, but the owner of the suitcase gets insurance. Why? Because Reuven gave the suitcase over to the airline. The airline say, we're going to look after this suitcase. We'll take responsibility of this suitcase. That's our duty. And we're going to compensate you if it gets lost for the suitcase. How are we, the airline, going to cover ourselves in that event? We're going to take insurance out. We're going to use your money, which you're paying us, to take insurance out on the suitcase for our responsibility of looking after the suitcase. So what's the money for when it actually gets lost? Why is the money that is the airline giving the money over? Why?
Make themselves.
To protect themselves, to fulfill what?
Their obligation.
Their obligation of what?
Watching the suitcase.
They feel responsible for the suitcase. They want to give money for the suitcase. So the money is given over for compensation of the suitcase. So the money is in return for the suitcase. Now, who does the suitcase belong to? Reuven, who bought the ticket, or Shimon, who sent the suitcase? Of course, it belongs to Shimon. So therefore, the money is given specifically for Shimon. Because the money is given for the loss of the suitcase. However, that's not like normal cases of insurance. Some insurance, for example, if Reuven owns a car and he took insurance on the car, and then he sells the car, but he still has insurance for that car which he sold, then the money is paid in the event of damage to Reuven, because the insurance saying, we're not interested, we have no responsibility looking after the car. We just pay the policy holder. The money is given to the policy holder. Who's the policy holder? It's Reuven. Even though now the car belongs to Shimon, the money is given for the policy holder in such a case. Therefore, the money goes to Reuven in that case of a normal insurance case. But in the case of the airline, where the airline said, we have to compensate the case. So therefore, the money is given for the case. And who's the owner of the case? It's Shimon in that case. That's what we concluded last week. Now, the Shaila then arised in basin like this. Okay, Reuven lost the case. The airline lost the case. They compensate the owner of the case, which is now Shimon. And how much do they give? How much did the airline compensate a suitcase for? The value of the suitcase? How does it work?
Up to a maximum.
It's a set fee. It's not really the value. They have a policy. You lose a suitcase, you get $600. So therefore, Shimon turns around and says, yeah, give me the suitcase, because the money is given for the loss of my suitcase. But Reuven says to Shimon, in Basin like this, Reuven says to Shimon, how much was the value of the contents of your suitcase? So Shimon starts working it out and thinking, and he says, you know, maximum $300. Maximum $300, thinking about all the stuff in the suitcase. So Reuven says to Shimon, You're getting $600. I understand, okay, now the basin's paskins, that you get the insurance money because you lost the case and the money is given in lieu of the case. But how much is the real value of that case? You just told me it's $300. Why should you get the whole $600? I should get the other $300. That's not really why. They're not paying the extra $300 because that's the value of the suitcase. They're paying $300 because that's their policy. Whoever who flies and pays for tickets will get $600 if they lose a suitcase. So therefore I, Ruvain, who paid for the tickets, who created this deal with the insurance, I should get that extra $300. Now, do you think Reuven is correct in his reasoning in front of the basin when he says, yes, you can get the $300, but the extra $300, since I created that profit, I should get it?
No.
There is agreement. You both say no, but you're very silent in why.
No, the why should be the same why. The same reason we're saying that Shimon should get the money. Well, it's doing it worse than they're paying the suitcase, then they're paying the suitcase a fixed fee. And they don't care what the suitcase is really worth. They're paying a full fixed fee for it. Whether the suitcase is worth $1,000 or $100, they're still paying $600. Reuven's not going to pay him an extra $400 if it's really worth $1,000. He gets the full value of $600, whether it's plus or minus the actual value.
Okay. Does everybody agree with that logic over there?
But Reuven did sweat that. He did work for...
Yeah, but he was prepared to do that for free. That's what he was doing. That's part of his favor, yeah? He didn't say, you know, I'm doing this because I know that when the case gets lost, because I'm flying this airline which always loses suitcases, so I'm going to make profit. He doesn't think like that, yeah? So he's doing the job for free. Now there's an extra revenue. Who gets this profit? So you're saying, gosh, it still goes to the owner. You're also saying, Eric, also it goes to the owner. Is it for the same logic which you just heard, or for different?
I don't touch any money. I've already decided that it's nothing to do with him getting the money. Then it's going to come to anyone.
He's not entitled to the money of the value of the suitcase. But now we're talking about there's profit here. Okay, you're saying.
The next one is out for anything you can get. You can get all the 600, but now you're trying to get half the 600.
Okay, basically you're saying the same thing, you just have a nice way of saying it. Okay, so amazing that we have no machlokas over here going on. Okay, so let's look at the first maramokum. I think we need Yumi over here to get things going. So it says, in Shulchan Aruch Kuf Pei Gimel, Sif Vav, it says like this.
Son of Binyamin.
Yes.
He has no responsibility for
no.
anything what happened.
No, he's no responsibility.
He doesn't have any responsibility for anything bad. So then, Lomagiyala, anything, if anybody compensates the actual owner.
Oh, okay. Same type of scorer. You don't take risks, then you shouldn't get any profit. That's a business type of swap. Yeah? That's business world swap. Yeah? Now, how you are a sharkotzim for you two, Reuven asked Shimon to buy something for him. That was a fixed price for that object. It was $5. He asked him, here's $5, go and buy me a sack of potatoes. So he see from the shliach b'minu v'mishkol b'mitzvah. And when he picked up from the shop a pack of potatoes, and he said, give me a pack of potatoes, and well, here's $5. The owner of the shop gave him extra. The shliach said, I asked for a pack of potatoes, $5. Why are you giving me two packs of potatoes? He said, don't worry, I'm giving extra. Who gets that extra now? Culture, sifilo, hamochim, hayu shoshnehem. Anything that's added, it belongs to both of them. Both the owner, the one who owns that $5, and the shliach who went on the job. The extra pack of potatoes gets split between both of them. They split it together.
Didn't we say the whiskey goes only to the mishaleach?
So? correct, but we're doing Chazora over here, and therefore I'm testing you. Do you remember what's the logic over here? Now, firstly, what is the Peshat over here in the Shulchan Aruch that we say when you buy a sack of potatoes and you get an extra one, you split it between the one who sent you, the owner of the money that sent you, and the Shliach who picked up the sack of potatoes? Why?
They both had a part in it.
They both had a part in it.
You needed both.
You needed both. Now tell me, did you need both people in our case to create the extra $300 that now being given out for that lost suitcase? Did you need the input of both of them?
Yes. You needed the guy with the suitcase and the
airline to lose it. And Ruben to buy the tickets.
So the airline tickets.
So if you need the input of the owner of the suitcase and the buyer of the ticket of the airline to create the extra revenue of 300, then we should say this 300 is created as a partnership between the owner of the suitcase and the one who bought the ticket. So the extra 300 should be split between Reuven and Shimon. And Reuven should get $150, and Shimon should get the other $150. So altogether, Shimon gets $450, even though his suitcase is only worth 300, and Reuven has bought the ticket, now gets $150. That's what we should say in our case. Yes?
No.
Does everybody agree to that halachic result that we're discussing over here?
In the case of the mocher, the mocher is adding something, is giving something.
Yes.
This is, the airline is compensating. It's not giving, they're not giving a present. They're fulfilling their obligation. Their contractual obligation is the $600. We're sorry, thank you very much. It's not a present.
But they know they're giving more than really maybe the value of
the ticket. They could be giving less.
They could be giving less, but they know they could be giving more. Yes? They're just giving more. Who created that contract?
A lawyer in the airline.
But who made the contract?
The ticket.
So therefore, even according to what you're saying, me, the buyer of the ticket, helped create that obligation to more than the value of really the contents. Then the money has to go back to the change because it was never used. It's not like this.
In this case,
everyone hears what Eric says, and whatever Eric's saying is good, but nothing to do with our case. Why? Because Eric is saying, oh, we've got a bad case when you give $5, yeah, to $10 to buy a $10 bag of potatoes. They gave you $10 bag of potatoes, and don't worry, we're only charging $5. Who gets that $5 extra? The halacha is, it goes back to the owner because it was never used. It's not like you were giving an addition was created by both of them and therefore you split both of them. What happened in the end was $5 wasn't necessary, so therefore it never left the ownership of the person who had owned the $10, so it automatically goes back to the owner over there. That everybody can understand from how I'm explaining that halacha. That's got nothing to do with our case, is it? It's obvious. Yes?
This is different from the airline also.
Okay, so you got now a second you admit you're wrong in the first reason, yes?
No, it's all the same.
Okay.
It's different in this
case. Yeah, Eric has admitted that he's wrong. Okay. Now, what other idea do you have over here?
In the case of the potatoes, two people are doing business. By agreement, one helping the other.
Does anyone understand what Eric's saying?
But I agree with the conclusion.
You agree this is different.
This is different because here,
yes,
this is a fixed case.
$10 for the potato. The airline's also got a fixed price of $600. This would be the equivalent of the airline paying more than $600. This would be the equivalent of the airline giving an extra $200.
Is that maybe what you're saying?
And that difference is just
big. Okay.
But
I understand what you're saying. Okay.
It seems to me that there's a difference because we're sending a shali up to do something. We're sending a shali up to do a transaction.
Yes.
So it's based on the transaction, there's certain assumptions about what is going to take place in the transaction and what happened.
Yes.
And they're different.
Difference, yes.
Okay, that's one case. But when you're sending somebody as a shali up, it's not a shali up for a transaction. It's a, you're taking something over here, and then when another person gets involved in terms of compensation, it's not a transaction, it's a compensation, insurance.
Okay. So, basically, I think everybody is saying the same idea, and you're all right, in their own way. Let's read number two. The Ksosach Ocean says, there's a limitation to this halacha of the potatoes. We're nearer. Dahayna dafka benos neshiach umeshum dabar lo hanoa ayodah balabayis. It's dafka when it's given to the shiach, and the hanor, the extra bit, was created by a combination of both of them. But if the owner of the shop says, I give you an extra bag of potatoes, I'm giving this bag of potatoes beferish because of the money which the owner has given me, because the money of that $5 which belongs to the owner, I'm giving the potatoes to the owner of the money, if it says beferish, everyone agrees I call the balabais. And of course, that extra bag of potatoes now goes to the balabais, because the one giving it is saying clearly, I'm giving it not stam, I'm giving it because specifically for the owner of the money. I'm not leaving up in doubt, I'm saying it's completely the owner. Are we going to suggest that if somebody decides to give a present to somebody in Australia and he has to give it to Reuven in Eretz Yisrael, that Reuven suddenly now gets half of that present because he happened to be around in Eretz Yisrael? Of course not. The one's giving a present wants to give it to the one in Australia and nothing to do with Reuven. So here also, when they give compensation, everyone knows at the beginning, like you were saying. The airline are giving compensation for the bag which is lost. They're not giving a freebie. And the riot is that even the bag is worth more, they're still going to give 600. They're not out to give 600 as a bonus. Their concept of 600 is the 600 is a exact replacement for the bag. Whoever owns the bag gets the 600. That's what the airline are deciding over there. Therefore, they're not giving freebies, they're giving specifically because they want to replace the bag, like everyone is saying. And therefore, it only goes the 600 to Shimon. So at the end of the day, the Psak Halacha was, Reuven wanted all the 600. He didn't get all the 600. Then he wants at least half of the 600. Didn't get half of the 600. Then he wants at least 150 of the 300 was credited. Doesn't even get that. He gets nothing. The whole 600 goes to the owner of the bag in such a scenario. Yeah. So Eric is smiling because he's come out the same way as Eric is. Okay.
I don't understand this guy. From a nice guy to a
money makes the world go meshuggah. Okay. Let us move on to now the next slide.
Now, is there smart to say that Reuven gets a refund for the portion of his ticket that paid for the insurance?
Oh, very good point. We're going to discuss that soon. We're going to discuss that very soon. Very soon. Good. Actually, we're going to discuss it now. That's it. This new next case. Somebody deals with selling gold. You know these big guys walking the street. They're the ones who sell gold. Yeah, go to Tel Aviv, you see these big guys, t-shirts over there, hip couples on, don't fit properly. They're the guys who sold gold. Yeah, very big sellers of gold over there. Big dealers, millionaires. Now they came to Basin and had a couple case like this. Let's call him Reuven again. Reuven says, you know, I was going out of town and I have a big stock of gold, and I want it to be safe. Where do I put it? So where would you think Reuben puts his stock of gold when he's going out of town and he wants it to be safe? No, no, he doesn't want to have anything to do with the bank. He goes to his best pal, Shimon, who's also dealing in gold, and he says, look, Shimon, can you look after this gold of mine? Put it in your shop, your place, be with me. So Shimon says to say that, I'll take it. Shimon says, Reuben says to Shimon, you got insurance? So don't worry, I've got insurance. Anything happens, it's all covered. Okay. Right. So now, goes away Reuben, and there's a burglary that takes place. Theft, Geneva, Shimon is raided, and he's cleaned out. But he's got insurance, and insurance pays out $100,000 for the loss of gold. Included in that $100,000 is $20,000 which belongs to Reuben, in theory. That's how much he deposited by him. $80,000 of Reuben, of Shimon, and $20,000 of Reuben. The insurance payout. Fine. So now Reuben gets his $20,000 back. The good friend Shimon gives, fills his commitment to pay $20,000 back to Reuben. He passes on the insurance. But now Shimon says, "You do, look, it costs me money, this insurance. And you benefited from this insurance. So I would like you to pay proportionate how much insurance it cost me."
It didn't cost me anything extra.
You got 20%. So pay 20% of the insurance cost.
One night cost.
No.
Why the whole premium for a year?
Because if you didn't have the whole premium of the year, you wouldn't even have the night.
Or he also wouldn't have deposited.
You should have charged him up front. You should have charged him up front. He said, "You want it?"
Yeah,
you
know, nothing happens, and nothing happens. But now you've benefited. Now you've benefited. Now you've benefited and paid. And that's the same Shiloh you have in the airline. Now you give the $600 to the owner of the suitcase. And the guy, the poor guy here, who went on the plane and wanted to, thinking he's gained $600, he's got nothing in the end. At least now he says back, he says, look, at least pay me. You got the benefit of the insurance. Pay me for the insurance. I went on the airplane. At least give me that. You're the one who used it. I didn't use it. At least pay me for the insurance.
And that portion is also, the airline, it's a fixed price as part of the ticket. $26 goes towards insurance, and it doesn't matter if he has three bags or one bag.
Correct. But at the end of the day, you used it, you benefited in it, to pay for that benefit you received.
And then there's a little cost there. It's not, he didn't lose anything. Reuben didn't lose anything. He also didn't bet. Maybe he did.
Okay.
This guy is asking to pay as an act of friendship, or is making a claim from him to pay him?
It comes to basin is that we want to mevaleh, we want to clarify if there's a need to pay. That's how it's worded.
That's nice. That's a nice way.
You could get 600, 300, 450,
he
or what?
He didn't pay extra once he deposited.
No, payment extra was made.
He should have told him up front if he wanted to be compensated. Listen, I'll watch your stuff, but it's a responsibility, and I'm going to charge you a fee for it.
Okay, very good.
Say next year.
Then you can take it to someone suffering.
Say next year.
Really?
True. More.
So now. There's something over here. Does he have to pay extra next year?
Yes.
But does it because of your $20,000 that I have to pay extra? No. I have to pay extra in any case because of my $80,000. So let's look at the Shittamukha message. It says like this. He brings down the machlokus between Mahdiko and Tzedek and the Meir. Nearly, the balim lo mishalem le shomer chinim hasa shonosim le shomer socha. the owners don't have to pay the Shomer Chinon that money which he laid it out to increase their liability to the Shomer Socher. What's the case? Reuven gave his bag to Shimon to look after as a Shomer Chinon. Shimon said, I'm going to hire Levi, I'm going to pay money from my own pocket, Levi, to look after it, which increased responsibility, because once you pay, there's more liability. It gets lost, and Levi now has to pay. That money goes back to Reuven, the original owner. Fine. Now Shimon comes to Reuven and say, but why did you get your money? Because I increased the liability. I paid money to increase that liability. So therefore, since it's because of me, I should get compensated the money I laid out. If it wouldn't be for me increasing the liability, you would never have got the money back. So, okay, you get all the money, but you should pay me for the money which I laid out to help you. You're the one that benefited at the end of the day.
He also wouldn't have lost his bag. He also wouldn't have lost his bag. It would never have been a Levi's.
It would never have had a liability, Shimon, if it had been lost. He's a Shomer Chinon.
I'm saying the bag wouldn't have got lost. That's what I'm saying.
Let's say it would get lost. He'll still be not liable to pay because he's only a Shomer Chinon. So that was his claim. Avagav Dalila Shmiroso to Shomer Socher. Shomer to pay, even though he's increased the liability by paying out his pocket, to chayev b'gnei beida, because now it's chayev Levi to pay, even if it is lost involved. Afilo ochi potra habalim, nevertheless the owners don't have to compensate the Shomer Chinon for laying out money for that increased liability. Don't.
What should they have to pay?
Mushom ochi lo aylish mei b'alim, kim b'shul atzma. Akeim potra habalim. Abu, but there's a different opinion. Rav Meir Musa Costa, he writes, nearly loma shascha shenotol shomasheni meshomerishon bala behema noso noso. He gets compensated shomachinam laid out to increase liability. He gets that back from the owner.
Why?
Why? You tell me why. But we have a mach locus.
No, let's say the bag didn't
why?
Get. Let's say the bag didn't get lost. So does he get paid for the money he laid out?
Does he get paid if there doesn't?
He laid out to a third person, and he doesn't. Then he gets it back. Can he come to him and say
no? No, because there's no benefits. Because you get no benefits. I laid that money to try and give you benefits. Give you benefit, and at the end of the day, you didn't get benefit, so you don't have to pay. If it doesn't get lost, then there's no benefit. Why should I pay for? Why I, the owner of the bag, should pay for you increasing liability if I get no benefit for that liability because it was never lost? But if it's lost, I do get benefits. Then I should compensate you because you created that extra liability which helped me out.
If he wanted this extra refund worth of the bag, he would have paid originally Shomer Socher if he wanted that extra, if he wanted the cover if it was to get lost.
Now that your bag is lost, and if there would be no liability, you would never see the $600 at all. Yes.
What do you prefer?
Would you like there be liability that they're able to give you the $600?
Tough question.
It's a tough question. I admit it's a tough question. No, what's the answer?
Okay.
Yes, so means that now being clever, looking backwards, you say, very good, I want you to make that liability because it helped me out.
Yeah, but he was willing originally not to.
It was originally with you, but now he's happy you did it, and now he's benefiting from it. So therefore, it's good you laid out, and therefore, if I was being a novi, I would say, don't lay it out, and therefore, I should compensate you for it. Yeah? That's the opinion of the person who says you does compensate. Now, if there's a machlokas, I always throw this type of question out. If there's a machlokas, do you have to pay or don't have to pay? What is the status quo in vini momentis.
Money stays where it is.
Money stays where it is. Now, where's the money? Where's who's holding the money? Who's holding the money? No, the owner's not holding the money. The policy holder's got the money. He's holding the money.
Baggage or gold?
In both cases. Both the gold case and in the case of the airline, who got the money, the check in the post? Who got the check?
The owner.
The policy holder. I.e. the guy who bought the tickets, Ruben who bought the tickets, and Ruben who owns the gold shop. Yes? Yeah? Not the owner of the gold and not the owner of the bank. They've got the money. Now, the halacha was, you have to pass that money on. But they're claiming, but we want to hold back a little bit. What little bit do we want to hold back?
Insurance.
The insurance. So who's holding the money at the moment in time, as based in our city? The policyholders. So if there's a machlokus, whether they're entitled to the money or not, and the one they are holding the money, they're saying we are entitled and we're holding the money, what's the halacha then? Should be? You should stay by them, they should be able to keep it. Yes? Keep that extra cost which they did for creating the insurance. $26, whatever you want to say.
Yeah, but again, I would still argue, even if we go and say, assume you're not done anyway, but that you would divide it by the how many nights it's involved. You can only deposit the gold for one night and you prorate the cost of the insurance. You know, whatever.
No, I don't give. Look, either I take insurance out for the year or I don't take out insurance at all. It's not going to suddenly throw my stones and make a tefillah and work out which day will I take insurance out or not. And I take insurance out for the whole year. If I'm not going to take it out, I'm not going to take it at all. Therefore, the result of money coming from insurance is only because I took it out for the year, so the year cost is what you're benefiting from.
Depending on how much gold is deposited, it could be less than the cost of insurance. If you only, instead of putting in $20,000 worth, only put in, you know, $50 worth of gold.
Okay. That's what we're saying. You pay relative to how much you benefit.
Oh,
I benefited 80%. You benefited 20%. You pay 20% of the policy. In the case of the airline, you pay the whole value of the insurance because my bag didn't get lost. Your bag got lost.
That's a small cost. The insurance there is very small.
The airline's not the same as this
case. Ah. Why is it not the same?
Because in this case, he went and took out insurance because he wanted to cover himself for the third guy and another guy, Chauvin's stuff. But this suitcase, he did want insurance for all his stuff. And that happened to include the other guy's case as well. He didn't go and pay out money especially for it.
Not holding there yet.
Same
not yet.
Same with the gold. He didn't pay extra for this other person's gold.
So, but Shlomo Zalman, Obas, that's out, says like this. Tama Paturim, what's the logic behind the idea of the people who say that you don't pay? He's bothered, Eric, opposite to what you're bothered about. You're not like Shlomo Zalman, Obas, not yet. He's not worried why you're chayiv. He says, why are you potter? He says, Mipnei she'ein asra shel shomer socha rak avur shom nitel al atzma achrayis behesek nebez el avur hashmir atzma. Why did the shomer chinon pay somebody to look after it? Is the reasoning in his head because he's doing that in order that I've got no time for this? I have to look after this object. I've got no time to look after this object. I'm going to pay somebody to look after it. Is that the logic behind it?
Probably.
Or is the logic behind it, no, I'm worried if an event happens and I want to look after his interests, so therefore I'm going to pay money to increase the liability and help him out.
First guess.
Which is more likely is the kavana behind him paying money for somebody to look after? So that he's got no time for it and he says, I've got no time to look after it and I pay somebody to look after, do my job instead of me? or is he doing it because I want more liability to help him out? What, which one? Which thinking do you think he's doing it for?
Second one. He's also decreasing.
So very good. That's the machlokus with Shem Zaman. What is his thinking? The people who say it's Peturim, that you don't get compensated, is because the reason why he spent money was not to help the guy out, was to help himself out. I don't want to look after this. I don't have time for this. I'll pay him to look after this. I'm paying money to get me off my responsibility. I don't want to do it. You're not paying to help him out. So therefore, when you're laying out money, it's not for his benefit. You're not intended for his benefit. So that happens at the end of the day, it benefits for him, but the money wasn't laid out for his benefit. The money you was given just for your own benefit, so you don't get compensated. The people who say you're chayev say, no, the money was given in order to help him out because I want to increase liability. I'm giving it purposely for him. And if there's an issue, then he will get the benefits, and therefore I'm paying for him, therefore I have to get my money back. That is the machlokus between the ones who say you're potter and the ones who say you're chayev.
So all of our cases we potter.
Ah, so what is the logic behind insurance? Why does somebody pay insurance?
For himself.
Why does somebody pay for insurance? So in order that he has no job of looking after it anymore? In order to increase liability.
But for himself. For himself. He's still focused on benefiting himself.
So why doesn't he give it to Shlomo Tingham? Why does he pay somebody and increase the liability?
For insurance?
Yes.
If I have $100,000,
why do I lay out money? Why do I lay out money in order to make more liability by insurance? So insurance take over my job, the insurance are not going to come to my house and look after my things. All insurance does is increase liability. They don't actually take over me. I still have the responsibility of looking after that object even when I pay insurance. So the whole purpose of insurance is to increase liability. So if the whole purpose of insurance is to increase liability, then for sure the concept of why you're paying is to help him out. And therefore, according to everybody says for Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, everybody will say that for sure you get your money back. Because for sure when you pay for insurance, the concept there is for sure to increase liability to help him out. According to everybody, says Rosh Hashanah, well, I'll buy insurance, you'll get your money back.
In the gold case, the other guy didn't exist yet. In the gold, when he insured his own gold, his friend's gold wasn't even there yet. So it wasn't increasing liability for him, it was for me.
I think there's an increased stuff. In the airport.
Yes.
He's not paying insurance, he's paying to go, he's paying to fly on the plane, and insurance comes as part of a ticket. He's not paying, he doesn't even intend to pay insurance, it just comes with it as a bonus.
In other words, it only works if you had to pay more money for the insurance, not if you didn't have to pay any more money.
Right. So very good. We've learnt a big halacha, and we've learnt all great concepts over here, but it's not relevant. Because if you look at the metzias of the case that we're discussing, is that the insurance ready pre-existed before any agreement to look after your objects. Therefore, when I paid out the money, for sure I didn't pay it out for your benefit. Definitely not for your benefit, it's only for my benefit. So therefore, in such a scenario, everybody would agree that you don't get compensated because the money which you paid for insurance was for sure not his, because you paid before he even existed. You bought the ticket before he existed. You had your insurance on your shop before he existed. You can't say the reason why you're paying is for him. So everyone would agree in that case that you definitely didn't do a thing, and therefore you don't get compensated in that case according to everybody. So what we're concluding is, if the insurance pre-existed before you took on the responsibility of the object, then you don't get compensated for that investment of insurance, because the insurance wasn't done for him, because he didn't even exist. But if he came along, you took on responsibility, and then you took out insurance, then everybody will agree that you do get compensated, the kulamane wouldn't be a machlokas, and you would get your money back in that case. So it depends. Did which came first? The insurance or the job? If the job came first, then you get compensated. If the insurance comes first, you don't get compensated. In this case, you don't get compensated. So the poor guy doesn't get his $600, doesn't get his $300, doesn't get his $150, and he doesn't even get his $24.
Which is the same way he would have been had he not taken the luggage anyway.
I have a question.
The gold guy also.
I have a question.
Yes.
The guy with the gold, he goes to this guy and says, look after my gold. And have you got insurance? He says, yes, don't worry, I'm covered. The gold is stolen. Turns out he doesn't have insurance, or doesn't have proper insurance, he's not covered.
Ah, that's Hilchos Shomim, which the Rav has already started over here. Maybe you're here in his shirim over there after Maariv. But if not, we're going to cover that, those cases, when we do Hilchos Shomim. And we'll finish off with the last line of the page. This is a Shechionu. Last line of my page, not your page, okay?
Oh,
so it says like this. But says, well, I'm Leib Steinman in the Sefer. It's very important, this last line. It says, Achlayas ha-bituach, hi ha-rechush ha-muftach, ubein ha-rechush ha-nimtza b'mokam ha-boteach, acharai alof. Yumi's not here, but this is what Rabbi Steinman also knows, how insurance companies work. And he says, clearly, if you look at the policies, they say, we take responsibility to lay out for loss which is incurred over there, whether the object belongs to you, the policy holder, or the object belongs to somebody else who you're responsible to pay, and therefore we will compensate you. But if you have in your possession somebody else's objects, which if you lose them you're not responsible to pay, then we're not liable to pay insurance on that object. We only liable if you're going to lose money, and we're going to compensate that money. But you can't, if you're not going to lose money, and you just want to do a favor for your friend over there and say, well, use my insurance, and even though I'm not responsible, then you can't do that.
So that's the gold case, that's the gold case.
So, in this case, it depends. If the gold guy came along and says, here, can you look after it? Fine, I'll look after it. And then it gets stolen or lost. What's the halacha? Is he potter? He's potter. Because he's only a shemachino. Shemachino's not responsible for anything stolen. Now that $20,000 gold is stolen, he can't go to insurance and say, pay for my friend's $20,000. The insurance say, are you responsible to pay for him? So no. So then we're not covered. You're not covered on our insurance policy. But because he said over here before he gave the gold, have you got insurance? I only want to give it to you if you got insurance. So he said yes. So that makes him, that answers your question, liable. It makes him, does make him liable if it, anything happens. And therefore, the insurance, you've got a right to claim from insurance.
But he's still a shomer chino.
Even a shomer chino, but he's accepted upon himself responsibility.
That insurance that will take care of.
That there will be money there from insurance. He's accepted upon himself that liability. If he does, he is liable, and then insurance you can claim from insurance. So sometimes it's gezel to take from insurance when you're not responsible really to your friend's objects, and sometimes it's not. Mr. Shem will carry on next week with the topic of gezel akim, stealing from goyim.
Car insurance is like, legally, you need car insurance in order to drive. You're not necessarily doing it for the purpose of increasing liability. You're doing it because legally you have to.
No, you only legally have to by Betuah Chovah, which is only for personal injury cover.